The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Broadcasting from a very beautiful but sunny and sexy and steamy Burbank, California today, it's the Knapsack Files on the road, and I have a wonderful guest who I think Collider fans are going to be very excited to learn more about because they've been dying to learn more about her when she started appearing in sketches on Awesometacular, behind-the-scenes videos, and just kind of controlling that office over there at the Collider Video Studios. It is actress, artist, dog mom, Heather Grace Hancock. I'm going to call you Grace.
Well, thank you. I'll call you Ken.
Thanks for agreeing to let me invade your studio here.
Yeah.
You're looking at me like, why are you here? Why do you have this gear?
That's just how I look at you.
How long have you been in L.A.?
I have been in L.A. about 6 years now.
Six baby years? Mm-hmm. Six little baby years.
Rat years.
Rat years. Where did you come from?
Arizona.
Arizona. What part of Arizona?
Well, born in southern Arizona, and then, but I feel like I grew up in northern Arizona.
Flagstaff?
Prescott, very close.
Prescott. Is that near?
Flagstaff, yeah.
Well, it's near Flagstaff, west or east? I spent some time in Flagstaff. I'm trying to remember.
I think it's diagonal, technically.
Where's Williams?
Williams is very close to where I'm from.
Okay.
Like, tiny. Maybe 45 minutes.
There's, like, a ranch. There's a couple horses.
And, like, one gas station.
And a Dairy Queen or something.
It's a hopping joint.
And then you head up to the Grand Canyon from there.
Right. It's literally just there to be the stopping point before you get to the Grand Canyon.
Prescott. Could you say it like that? Prescott.
Prescott.
It's like a Western thing. It's like a Western
Well, it was
town.
Named, everybody thinks it's Prescott because that's what it looks like phonetically, but they are incorrect. It was actually named after a man, and his last name was Prescott.
Typical.
Was Prescott.
You messed up your own
I'm
story.
I'm all mixed up.
You got some snow up there.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry, kids. This is going to get a lot deeper than snow in Prescott, Arizona. I'm trying to set the scene
here.
And that's a wrap.
On that note. A lot of snow.
Northern
we get snowed in a lot.
Yeah, up in Flagstaff. That's, drove around on a Corolla on ice up there.
Yeah, that's fun. Been there, done that.
Heroin part of my life.
Oh, yeah. No, my parents, they live in the middle of nowhere, and they have, it's like dirt roads because they own all the land around them. And they have one road because you can come in two different ways because when you get snowed in, you're screwed. So
you're
one way is a really correct, and then you just hibernate, which is kind of awesome. But one of them has a really, really, really steep road that they had paved because as a dirt road, it's basically just suicide year round.
Yeah.
But when it's paved, it's suicide in the winter. And I have taken my mom's brand new, like, about 2 years ago, I want to say. I was there for Christmas. And I was like, I'm just going to go see my friend. And then I started to go up it, got about halfway, just completely flew down in my mom's brand new car, hyperventilating. I mean, I was an inch away from going off the cliff.
We almost lost you?
We almost lost,
We almost lost you. You wouldn't even had a chance to be in this podcast.
And it would, it's not a good way to go.
No. So, but this is kind of a frontier. You're in, like, frontier town, right?
Oh, yeah. They have chickens and goats.
Let me ask you these important questions, Grace. How many horses did you ride, and how many bears did you kill?
Well, I'm not allowed to say how many bears for legal reasons, but many a horse, many a horse.
What does one do there in your youth when the only thing to do is go to the Grand Canyon?
Yeah, well, do a lot of drugs and a lot of partying and a lot of
But where's
mopey.
The parties? The bottom of the Grand Canyon?
No,
like,
it's
where are
not
you going?
In the Grand. I'm actually from the Grand Canyon. I just live at the bottom.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I mean, it's a very artsy town, but it's small. There's not a lot to do. It's not a happy place for teenagers.
No, I get it. I grew up in a small town too. That's why we leave. So that might be the first connection to what I was, from this frontier town, which I've painted this image where you're in Red Dead Redemption, roaming the plains, hunting bears outside in Prescott,
100% Arizona. 100%
accurate. That's accurate. It's your high school. Did you have a Letterman jacket for bear killing?
Letterman jacket.
Instead of like band,
me.
First chair, you were like, I'm first bear.
Why is that the alternate? I was not in band. I was hella cool.
Whoa! Shots fired across anyone in band.
They know what it is.
So you mentioned it's an artsy town. Is that when did you decide to break free and head to L.A.?
Oh,
and
man.
Be an actress.
Well, that actually didn't happen until pretty late in my college career because
You went to study bear hunting?
I did. obviously excelled.
Clearly.
But decided to go a different path.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to go to New York for a very, very long time because I started dancing and then I started in musical theater. So I wanted to be a big Broadway star. So I was going to go to New York for a really long time.
I know you do some ballet.
I do.
Is that what the kids call it?
Ballot? No, that's just how it's pronounced. Ballot? Yeah, that's the French pronunciation.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So you've got an artistic background. You got your parents artistic? Where'd you get it from?
I mean, yeah, certainly in different ways. I mean, my dad's a doctor. He's a chiropractor, nutritionist, all that kind of stuff. Right. But he's an amazing musician.
What are his rates? Because my neck hurts really bad.
I'll give those to you after.
So he was a musician.
Yeah, so he was in a band. He had long hair. And then he went to school for music. And then he went to school for medicine and all that kind of stuff. I mean, my parents and my mom did musical theater when she was in high school. She did choir. And then she went into teaching. And now she also does all the nutrition consultation, and they do that together, which is great. But yeah, so nobody was really an actor, certainly by any means. My sister's also an amazing piano player, musician, and singer.
So you got a great family that if we put you in a school bus and painted that school bus bright colors, you could travel along entertaining people village to village? Is this what could happen?
Something like that. You know, it's funny. We always joke that my family is kind of like the Battle of Thermopylae because literally we're like the biggest bunch of assholes. Me and my dad have had like a decade-long running joke where like mom hates you. Like mom changed your home address and your GPS because she's hoping you get lost.
I didn't want to tell you this.
Yeah, like mom, we're super, super cutting.
You travel town to town, the crazy fighting Hancocks. You travel town to town. Dad's got some medicine to solve the problems.
Herbs.
Yeah. Comes into town. You play some music. This is great. I've made a nice old timey sitcom.
You have.
I had a bunch of
guys. And killing bears on the set.
Here's one of the things I really like about you, Grace, is in a world where I work around YouTubers and movie reviewers and hosts and all that kind of BS, you're an actress. You are the old school style. I came to LA. I've been on shows. Got to get my headshots. I got an audition. An actress, which I forget actually still exists. It's not just Emma Stone in movies. So I'm impressed by that because you're in this world. You're in the office with us.
I am.
We got Campia, Harloff, Ellis, Johns, all these clowns. We're just a bunch of clowns.
Also accurate.
And you're over there just like, and you're not snooty by any means, but you're like, I'm an actress. I'm an actress. This is what I like about you. How did that path? You're on the way to New York. You turn the bus around. You head to L.A. What happened?
No, actually, you want to know something so funny, and I'm going to send this to her, and she's going to love this. My grandma, who I'm extraordinarily close to, she's always been more of like a second mom. Like, I speak to everybody in my
family. Is that because your mom hates you?
That's exactly why. But we're all, like, you know, I'm totally who I am no matter who I'm with. So even when I'm with my family, I have a total potty mouth. You know, I'm just kind of who I am.
Classic.
And my grandma, even though, exactly. And, you know, my grandma's the same thing. Like, my grandma totally knows what's going on in my life, you know, all the good and bad stuff. So she's totally with it. She's amazing. And my grandma, when I was in college, I remember her calling it one day. I think her and me and my mom were at dinner in Prescott at Gurley Street Grill, the only restaurant.
It's the restaurant.
Yeah. And she was like, "Yeah, I really think you're gonna do film. I think you're gonna go to LA." And I was like, such a snoot about it. I was like, "No, like classic theater. I'm gonna go to Broadway and be a big star." Because I sing and I dance, and I thought that was like the best.
Let's not skip over the sing and dance part. Put a pin in that. We'll come back to that.
Oh God, I'm not proud. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she totally called it, and I totally shot her down. I was like, "No."
Why was it? Just because of the pretension of theater, or
no? You know, I just
what did she
point,
see? Is the question I have.
I don't know. I mean, she had this weird premonition, and I think I just didn't have enough exposure to screen. Mm-hmm. I hadn't fallen in love with it yet. Mm-hmm. And they're totally, I mean, I cannot even, they're like baseball and football. They're both sports. You got to be athletic. But I mean, there is nothing in common with live theater and film and television. I mean, truly fucking nothing.
I agree.
Horrible.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry, can I swear on this?
My mom hates it, but you're good.
Oh, okay. Great.
No, you're fine.
On that note.
Your grandmother will love it.
She's used to it. My mom goes, "Grace, it wounds me."
Can we now make your mother a character in anything we do from now
she
on?
She doesn't sound anything like that, but all my impressions are that. She's like a small Jewish mother.
I think everyone has an impression of their mother that turns into that. Well, now, that my mom does not sound like the church lady, but I'm going to say she does.
Right, yeah. And when I'm in trouble, I get, "Heather Grace." But that's actually pretty accurate. But anyway, yeah, so Grandma called it, and I was like, nope. And then
So what
in
turns?
College. Well, you know what? I was in this really competitive repertory theater program. We had to re-audition every year. You could get snipped at any point, and none of your shit would transfer anywhere. I mean, it was really, really...
Really?
It was like military boot camp for actors.
Where is that? Where is that? Where
in Tucson, at U of A.
Okay.
It's the BFA acting program.
Yeah.
There.
I'm
and
saying
then,
like I know. I just know where Tucson
is. Yeah, I know. You're lying. It's fine. You don't even know where Tucson is.
I'm just the Paul
you're
Simon
like Mexico,
song.
Right?
That, yeah, that references Tucson, Arizona, and Graceland.
Yeah. It's like the cacti. Yeah. But then... Yeah. Towards the later part of my college career, I started doing a lot of the student films there.
Mm.
And I just kind of fell in love with it. And then I started to get really, really down to brass tacks. I was like, I'm from Arizona. I don't know if I can survive a New York winter.
Killing bears.
And there's no bears there to kill. So there was that.
No, they're kind of. They're at the certain clubs.
But they're always in, you know, the back of my mind of what to consider. And, and I just kind of started, you know, and even just like the fashion and kind of the attitude, I was like, you know, I think I'm going to kind of stick over here on the West Coast. Here I am.
The fashion of New York got to you. Is that because you're
was
sitting
that like
on
the
your
douchiest thing? You know, I've ever
said. I imagine you sitting in your Prescott, Arizona farm with a dream catcher and some kind of vaguely
and
Western, yeah, Native American kind of poncho. Going, I just don't think I can.
So
hack.
You have seen all my photos. Yes, good. Yeah. I'm glad.
I don't think I can hack a New York winter with all that fashion that's up there.
Well, and I'm super independent. I love having a car. I love doing my own thing. New York's a bit cramped.
See, I always thought I was going to end up in New York. And my love was Saturday Night Live. My favorite baseball team's New York Yankees. I love the Beatles and John Lennon settles in New York. I grew up thinking I'm heading there. But in the back of my head, I was like, I can't give up my Camry. threw away all my dreams for my Camry.
I mean, that's, who
so
wouldn't?
I understand what you mean. It's a certain way of life.
Yeah, it is. And I would adore, you know, because kind of the end game for me is I want to be a series regular on a show.
Sure.
And I would love for it to be shooting in New York and they could put me up in New York and I'll be there for like 6 months out of the year because I still love it and adore it and I love being there.
Yeah. I love it. And once I finally got there.
Yeah. But I don't know if it's going to be, at least for now, I'm totally open-minded to whatever, but right now it's just not really a home feel to me.
You, we're clearly in the Burbank Airport flight pattern here. So if you hear that, I'm not editing that out, Knapsack Files fans. Call someone if you hear a crash. Are you the type of girl just wants to get in her car and head out to the desert for a weekend?
No.
What's a weekend getaway for Grace?
Does it have to be like a literal getaway, like away
I'm
from LA?
I'm not saying we rob a bank and get away. I'm just saying.
But what if that's what I want to do?
Well, okay. That's, if that's your answer, I'm submitting this
are
as
the
evidence.
Feds listening to
yeah,
this?
Yeah, yeah. They always are.
So you're asking like what's a relaxing weekend or what's a getaway?
Well, now you're making it really complicated.
I mean, I just want some specifics.
This might be answering the question itself when you're just like, well, now hold on. What is it? You said you liked your freedom. You're an independent girl. I tell
see, okay.
that you're very artistic. You've got a lot of skulls in your apartment, which doesn't frighten me at all. but if I'm in New York, you can't just get in a car and head on out. You got to catch the L train, the 7 train, the night train.
And you have 37 jackets, 8 scarves, and 7 hats, and you've lost half of them. It's
we can do that here in LA. We can grab something, head up to the hills, head up to the beach, head up to this. Is that something you like to do?
Yeah, no, definitely not a beach girl, you know, for obvious reasons. I'm extraordinarily tan, so I do very well at the beach.
You're kissed by fire.
I'm
correct. Say on Game of Thrones.
I love hiking. There's a lot of really great hiking spots in LA. I really, really love, it sounds so, like, hippie and douchey, but I really adore nature and animals. I love being I love juice cleanses. But I do. I like being outside because we're stuck in a cave all day with fluorescent lights and no windows.
That's true.
I would love – I don't want to go to the desert. I feel like that sounds like I'm going to Joshua Tree to, like, do Molly, which is not something that sounds like fun to me.
Take some peyote and find the path to the spirit world, asshole.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe in high school, but now I'm in love. Yeah. But yeah, no.
Okay. I'm
kind of a homebody. When I'm so busy that like if I had the time, you know, a weekend to me, I'd be like, oh man.
Yeah, if I'm not if I wasn't a workaholic, that's what I would do. I would take more naps if I could. So you're out here. You get to LA 6 years ago. I'm fascinated. Maybe it's because Heather Graham and Bowfinger, when she gets off the bus and says, where do you go to be an actress? That's one thing. When I moved to town 19 years ago, you do the math. I didn't know what I was doing. Like, what do? I get pictures? Who takes my pictures? My mom God bless her, was like, maybe you should just see if Steven Spielberg's hiring. Like, apply.
Apply
for some writing good jobs.
I adore her and want to be her best friend.
And I've had some other friends who've had that experience, you know.
Right.
So ask Hollywood if they're hiring.
Yeah.
What do you do? That's scary. You make this decision.
Oh, super scary. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know shit. I feel
Did you not know anybody?
No. I actually, that's not true. My sister lived here when I moved here. She does not anymore, but thank God.
She went back to the farm?
She went back to bear catching country. No, she actually lives in Austin now with her wonderful husband.
Oh, great.
It's very exciting. I love them both so much. Yeah, it's super scary. I had graduated 2 weeks later. I was like, see ya, bitches. And I moved out here. I was super ready to leave Arizona.
Sure.
And I was really, really fortunate. My theater program, the repertory theater program I was in called ART, had a showcase, like a senior showcase. And I got signed. I had a manager based in L.A. sign me. Yeah, before I had even...
We even set foot here.
Yeah, exactly. So life-changing.
You can cry on command easily is what I'm getting at here.
I absolutely can.
Please don't now. Please don't now. Let me get to know you a little bit before I make you cry. Okay, that's good. So you didn't know family representation. That's a good heads up. That's a good leg up, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely put me...
Doesn't make it less scary.
No, I mean, I remember when I first moved here for like a solid year, I lost so much weight my first year. I mean, I looked amazing. Don't get me wrong.
Well, that's how you do it.
But it was so, I mean, it's a lot, it's scary. And you're so young. I mean, outside of college, you're like, I'm 21, I'm moving to LA. Now what? Like, I don't know. I'm terrified. I lost a lot of weight. But it was amazing. You know, my family's super supportive. My friends are super supportive. I did a lot of different classes and internships and different day jobs and stuff. Mm. So I was able to make like a tribe pretty quickly. But yeah, I mean, having representation, I mean, to this day, I'm still with her. I've been with her for 100 years. I love her, Mina Leib. She's amazing.
I'm doing the math. You're old. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a foot in the grave for sure. But yeah, so I got a day job that I hated. I started auditioning, and, you know, that's kind of how it goes. It's not as glamorous as you'd think.
No. The amount of rejection. I've never done that. I've never done that path. I was always comedy. I found the easiest path. Like, I can stand in front of a microphone and make people laugh. I can't even do that, but I'll stand in front of the microphone. Fair enough.
I'm laughing a lot.
Sure you are.
I hear Spielberg's hiring.
He's hiring. I'm hoping. But so you hit the town. Like, take me through, like, your first week. How does one set out to be an actress? You're here your first week. You're terrified. You're not even eating. You have some agent manager who's like, we'll get you something. It's got to be terrifying. I'm fascinated by these moments in life where you make the decision, but then you have to deal with the decision.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you have to be a certain breed of psycho. I mean, for sure. You have to have Mother of Dragons I mean, you really do have to have dragon thick skin. And you have to be in this. You have to be in this. Like, you can't be like, you know, I think I'll dabble in this. It has to be like, no. Like, I've always said, the only thing that scares me more than acting is not acting. And that's just, it's just in my DNA. I can't not do it.
Which sounds like a bumper sticker kind of advice, but I know what you mean.
I'm going to start making those. Yeah,
I think you should.
That's my next day job.
And then put your Twitter handle on it, and then you'll get cast. You'll get that.
And then I'll put Rat's picture on it.
Yeah.
I mean,
what's that guy? Dennis Woodruff drives around with a car, which has all his headshots on. Is that what? I'm not suggesting you go that far. Go that far, Grace. I'm
just
saying.
Is he single?
I've seen him out of his car. I'm going
to
guess he is. I'm going
to
guess no good partner would let them. Dennis, head on out to the store in that car.
I can't.
Yeah.
If I see him driving, I will probably pull him over.
So what you mean to clarify, when you're in it, you're in it. And I think that's what I see at a lot of people come to town. It was like my own example in life is I 60% wanted to be a police officer.
You did?
My whole life. And so when I moved to LA and started my day job, and my uncle, who's still to this day, is 50 years with LAPD, 24 active, 26 reserve. And he's always like, take that test. Come on. I was like, yeah. But. And I knew if I wasn't in it, I shouldn't be in it.
Right.
Not a career I want to be in a police car going,
I don't know
about today. So same logic.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of people come to town, have their grand on Bowfinger. Where do I go to be an actress? Where do I go? What do you put into it?
Oh, my God.
What goes into it? That's what I'm fascinated with.
I mean, you literally, and I'm not trying to, like, act like I'm curing brain cancer or anything, but, I mean, it's like a heart and soul and finances and time and energy and blood and sweat. It's all of the above. It's a huge financial burden. I mean, you always have to be in class. You always have to have headshots. You always have to be staying sharp, meeting people, blah, 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 like, all that kind of stuff, which can be drudgery, but you make it fun. I make it fun because I love what I do.
Because you grace.
That's right. So there's that, and there's a huge amount of time. I mean, I am incessantly, I mean, you guys see, like, it's like, Grace, can you go to the screening? I'm like, well, no, because I have stage combat and blah, blah, blah. And I'm constantly working on sides. I'm constantly rehearsing. I'm constantly going to this class and that class because you can't, if you get an audition, which in and of itself, the odds are like 10 billion to one.
Yeah.
And then you go in, you can't just be like, yeah, I feel pretty good about this. No. Like, you have to go in and be like, I'm the best fucking person for this, and I worked on this for 20 hours last night. I didn't sleep at all. I never see my friends. I canceled everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that you can go in. Because even then, like, 3,000 other people got called in just to audition. And then 15 people got the call. I mean, the odds are just astronomical.
There's a simple thing someone told me years ago. It is like, work harder because someone else is working harder than you.
Yeah, if you're not doing 110%, then somebody else is. So I'd rather it be me.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm just also a very driven, hardworking person. I'm very obsessive with things. So.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you now? Are you now? Stage combat, yeah?
Yeah, I love stage combat.
Tell me about that.
I never, ever, ever, I have literally been on set before, and it was like 4 a.m., so I was kind of delirious. I think if I had been rested in my right mind, I wouldn't have done this. But I've literally borderline argued with producers because there was one time, this beautiful time in my life when I was working on two shows at the same time.
Right.
And my shoot schedules conflicted when they weren't supposed to. So they were going to have to use a double for me like this one long shot. And I was like devastated because it's like, I adore this. I love what I do. I work so hard. There's no place. I mean, me being on the set of a television show is just the fucking center of the universe for me. It is.
Right.
There's no high like it anywhere.
So like me and a Del Taco. That's you want to say.
Exactly, right. Exactly. Okay. It's like rat and like a big bowl of Cheetos. It's just heaven on earth. So it's like, it's not even an ego thing. It's just like any minute that I can be here, I want to eat it up.
No. Erase the ego idea from your head because you're talking about approaching this something you love. And this is where I think a lot of people fall off the path. It's something you love, but you have to approach it every day like a business and a craft.
Oh, for sure.
Otherwise, you're going to fall off. You're going to be doing, you know, community theater. Not that that's wrong out there. I'm just, you'll be.
It is.
Yeah. All right, now the ego thing's back into play. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, my point being stage combat. I want to do all my own stunts if I can. So far, I have.
Okay.
So, success.
What kind of stunt? What's the worst stunt you've done? What's the most dangerous thing you've done?
Oh, I've like jumped, I think, I want to say like 5 stories?
I think I need to eat dinner because my first reaction was up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a pretty.
I have insanely strong.
You CrossFit? Wow. That's a good box jump. Wow. All right. Take me through this. This is fascinating. I just thought you took some kendo sticks at a class every now and then. You're jumping off 5-story buildings?
Yeah. Like you jump onto those big fluffy pillow things.
This is a life goal of mine.
That's the technical term.
Yeah. Big fluffy pillows. This is a life goal of mine. I'm afraid of falling.
Are you afraid of heights?
I love heights.
But you're afraid of falling. That's
afraid
a very strange thing.
Of falling.
You're
and
a weirdo.
Yeah, I am. When I went to the Grand Canyon in 2008.
Great year.
Great year. There's a picture, my ex-girlfriend and I went, and there's pictures of me, and I'm like, you know, on the railing, and like, if you look closely, my hands are translucent, because I'm just grabbing that railing.
There's like sweat dripping down the railing. You're like, I'm having a great time.
Who left handprints?
Greetings from the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. So I've always thought, well, if I could conquer it, maybe, because at my old work, there was a 5-story building. That's so funny, man. And I go on the top of that. I almost jumped off it once for suicide, but that's a different conversation.
You can't make me laugh at a suicide joke. Now I'm a monster.
That's what I do. But I always thought if there was one of those big fluffy pillow things, I'd be okay. I'd do it. And you've done it.
Yeah.
Why are you holding out on telling me this story at work? You could have, the first day I met you, you'd be like, hi, nice to meet you. Welcome to Collider. I jumped off a building.
What
was it for?
It's tougher. That was actually for like stunt training. So I guess maybe I made it sound cooler than it was.
No, that's cool.
But I don't know how to work that into everyday conversation. I'll work on that, Ken. Thank you for pointing
well,
that
I'm,
out.
I'm work on that this week. I want to see this in action.
I'm going to add that to my to-do
when
list.
When a guest comes Siri. In. I think we got like Michael Rooker coming in. I want you to be like, hey, how you doing? Welcome. Do you need water? I jumped off a building.
And they'll be like, all right, who's the weirdo with the water?
What was that like? Was that easy for you?
It was super easy for me. I'm super, super petite.
Okay, ego.
And I, no. I'm very tiny.
Yeah.
And I have small man syndrome, and I really enjoy being high up. Like, okay. I really enjoy that. It's like, I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was super fun. I'm not afraid of heights at all. I kind of love them. So it was really fun.
Okay, so you've jumped off a 5-story building.
Yeah.
What, take me through the first... The fifth, fourth, third, and like first floor running. What's going through your mind? Knowing that you're hitting a big fluffy pillow.
Right.
You hope.
They just deflated at the last second. Yeah. Joke's on
Things
you.
Things could go wrong.
Yeah, I'm like, well, that one time when I was 14. Yeah. No, it goes by. I mean, it's like, it's so fast.
Sure, I'm not
it's
looking.
It's so fast.
I get the science of it. But I
oh,
want,
I see. Okay.
I was really hoping that like slowed down and you were like, you.
No, not at all. I was having a blast. I really, my birthday's in June and I think I'm going to go skydiving because I've never
see,
done
See, I can't, I, ooh.
Not for you?
I want to. My mother did it. When
Your
she was
mother
very,
did
very,
it?
She did. And she and her friend got blown off course and landed like in fields away.
That it's, sentence could have gone a myriad of directions.
Yeah,
I'm happy.
Yeah,
that
my mom is missing and she's stole
Again,
money.
Again, you can't make me laugh at a missing mom joke. I'm like, that's hilarious.
She stole money and she jumped off the plane like that mythical, what's that mythical
that's
guy?
That's the coolest thing
yeah,
I've ever heard.
The mythical guy in the Pacific Northwest. So I've been terrified but fascinated by it. So... Let me know how that goes.
And now I'm going to make you come with me. I'm going to be like, it's my birthday. You have to.
Oh, I'll buy you a pizza.
Well, oh, shit. Okay.
We'll take,
I'll
you
take
to,
that.
Take you to Chuck E. Cheese.
Well.
We'll go. Well, don't knock it till you try it.
Well, my dad and my sister have gone like 100 times.
See, and right. And they're like, see, it's
I
fine.
I haven't done it, yeah.
And then one of my old employees, who's now a friend of mine, a kid named Nick, he went with some friends until they went to the specific one, Northern California, somewhere
yeah.
up there. And he was all geeked up and excited, and they went and they came back, and life changing experience, you know, saw through the heavens and everything great. Like cool. A week later, same spot, instructor and student died. And I'm like, I'm out forever. Forever.
Wait, what happened? Like literally a tandem jump. Like
yeah, it went bad. Something
like
went
bugs.
Wrong. Sometimes those fluffy pillows aren't there.
I mean, okay, but let's be
real. I don't
real.
Want to put this in your head, Grace.
I know, it's fine. You've just given me anxiety for the next 10 years. I mean, dying while skydiving?
Is a good way to go?
Not a bad way to go.
As opposed to how I'm going to go, which is too hot of a shower, I pass out and fall. And there's an empty Chipotle bottle, a Chipotle bowl in my kitchen.
He was clinging a Taco Bell bag. He was happy.
He did.
Like, who finds you if that happens? This is how morbid my mind is.
No,
this is also because Dateline is my favorite show.
Sure.
I've always wondered that.
Really?
Because I live alone. Like, who would find me?
Well, that's how
like,
I...
Like, who would care?
And I don't want to... Knapsack Files listeners have heard me tell this stupid joke over and again. I know how that's... I'm going to go out. I know I'm going to die like 4 days later watching I Hope Jeopardy with my pants on. Like, I know that's going to happen. You know? And the problem is, as technology gets you know, my hope is that the mailman would find me, but in 30
but why
years
why would he be in your shower
but
or in your living
in my,
room
but in 30 years there's not going to be like a mailman, it's going to be a drone hitting the door,
right? It's going to be like Minority Report.
Yeah they're going to be like
they're going to pass right over you, no life forms on board.
That's a big worry for me. Yeah, so
wow.
You're right,
maybe, I'm learning a lot.
Yeah, maybe I should just go in a skydiving accident.
I feel like it's better to risk death, just
yeah.
You know,
because I also eat sandwiches too fast.
Yeah, well, you can die from that, too.
And here, yeah, well, Mama Cass, and here's a little trick for you. Next time we're working on something in Collider and there's, like, sandwiches for Crafty.
Okay.
Pay attention to me, because sometimes I sneak off to the side and you see it looks like I'm trying to sneeze. I'm choking on my sandwich. This has happened to me, like, 50 times in my life.
But aren't you happy while
no,
choking
No, it's
on
a panic, because I'm like,
delicious.
This is how we're going out. I can't do it. Ken
Why
died.
Don't you just eat the sandwich slower?
It's not even that, Grace. It's not even that.
Are you trying to die by choking
no,
on a sandwich?
I am worried that my throat is closing, that it's shrinking, and I've heard that this is a possibility. This is going into a week. I hope your
so
family's
you're
listening,
a sandwich,
going,
you're having
dear God,
a panic attack,
someone
and
get
then your
Grace,
throat
get this guy out of Grace's house. We don't want him interviewing her anymore. Yeah, And I've had, and there, and there's a lot of times that I'll hit the grocery store and I'll drive home and have to pull off the side of the road because I've run out of my Monster energy drink to wash it down. And I'm thinking, Ken died doing what he loved.
Judging you so hard, right?
Choking on a Subway sandwich on Buena Vista in Burbank.
Like, I mean, that's a nice corner. Again, it could be worse.
Anyways.
Maybe you should just not eat sandwiches.
Well, I've been trying not to for
switch
carb
to salad
issues.
For a
yeah,
little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
You can't choke on spinach, right?
So anyways, all that to say, I'm really behind you skydiving.
My sky.
Sky dumping. I'm thinking of dumping out of the sky dying.
I mean.
That's what I'm thinking.
I mean, under the circumstances, I may simultaneously take a sky dump as well.
Well, that's probably what I would want to do if I was up there. Hey, can you give me a minute? We're already outside the plane. Still going to need it.
I'm like, with my tandem guy, I'm like, sorry about that.
You made a poor choice today, sir.
You chose.
Should have taken the day off. What other things have you done in the world of stunt? This is just as... this is just as fascinating to me. The actress thing was fascinating enough. Now you're hitting people with sticks.
Yeah. Well, I love sword fighting. Broadsword is my favorite.
Why does it have to be a broad?
Because that's the name of the sword.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, when I was doing Wicked City,
what the hell's Wicked City?
Wicked City was the ABC show I was on.
Oh, okay.
And
gotcha. Yes.
There was a lot of. I don't know if you can call them stunts, but I was tied up a lot. I know this is taking a kinky turn. And I was in a lot of trunks of cars, and there was a lot of knives and weapons. It was actually super cool. Ed Westwick, who was my co-star, because eventually I die, spoiler, when he's actually stabbing me, they swap me out for a watermelon full of fake blood so he can actually, like,
stab
it. Oh,
for the sound?
Yeah. Well, no, so he can have, like, the momentum of his hand, like, sticking into something, and then he has to pull it out, and then blood. It's great.
But let me ask you this question. Have you ever seen someone get stabbed?
In real life?
I have.
You have?
Well, my old job. I saw a guy get stabbed 9 times, and the other guy stabbed 5 times, and then my boss reached in to stop the fight and got stabbed and sliced his thumb. His tendon in his thumb snapped all the way back to his arm, up to his elbow. It's not as, it's subtle. It's more subtle.
This took a turn.
It did take a turn.
On board.
Yeah. It's like, you ever heard the story of Christopher Lee when he was playing Saruman and he gets stabbed in Return of the King? Brad Dourif as Grima Wormtongue stabs him. And they had it written in the script a certain way, and everyone's going through, Peter Jackson's going through, and Christopher Lee, who of course was in World War II and British Secret Service, was like, oh, that's not the sound a man makes when
he's
stabbed.
Like, I'm so sorry.
Like, yeah, no, I saw this guy get hacked up 9 times. It's subtle. You almost don't even know.
You know, the actor in me, when we're done with this, is going to pick the shit out of your brain.
Let's
about
do
that.
It. We'll just go. There's got to be someone out here we can stab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we can take a sky dump. It'll be a great time.
We're really getting.
Where are the sandwiches?
And I'll die choking the sandwich. Fascinating stuff. Where do you, so series regular, how do you, to have these goals in an industry that is so speculative in one sense, you don't know what can happen. Anytime you go on an audition, this could be the one, this could be the next in 1,000 that don't go your way, or go kind of your way, or this is an industry of disappointment, which is probably why we're so fragile, all of us. Kind of performers.
We're right on the edge.
I mean, it took me 17 years to get to the point where I'm like, I'm paid for what I love.
Right.
And even then I'm like,
even then you just growl.
Yeah.
And
I don't mean to scare you. You're 6 years into this journey here. Don't worry. 25 years, you'll be all right. A couple more sky dumps and you'll be good to go. How do you power through that stuff? How? Is it what release? Is it the driving to the desert to do the peyote?
It's definitely the bear killing, the peyote. Yeah. It all helps. No, you know, I mean, I have a really great, I mean, it sounds cliche, but my family is amazing. Super on board, super supportive. Every time I have a nervous breakdown and I'm like, that's it, I'm done.
Right.
My mom's like, no, remember this, this, and this. And I'm like, oh yeah, you're right, you're wise. So it's that, but it's also just, you know, I'm not done with it. You know, I'm totally open-minded to one day being like, you know what? I'm kind of over it. I'm 100% not there.
Sure.
Every single day I'm like amped to do it. Yeah. Thank you. You're like,
no, you
gotta wait till disappointment and sadness.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, until I understand that point that you're saying. There's a point I would have thought I'd never contemplate not doing this kind of stuff. I'm already, now that I'm 40, already, and that's not old, I get it, but well, it is. If you look at my beard, at the back of my head,
it's
I'm
so
like,
great.
I could go to Montana.
I know. Yeah, I have those days, too, where I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm moving to Austin. Yeah, I'm going to gain 30 pounds, and I'm going to become a school teacher.
Yeah, go back to my hometown. So yeah. I get it. But so that's the kind of stuff. So family and everything, but it's little things, little supports for the big moments. You do right. break down. What's the things, if anything you can say that your mom said when she's like, hey, crazy, listen to this. What inspires you?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, my mom is like my best friend and my shrink. Pretty much 24/7, so thank God for that.
That's cheaper.
It is. Yeah, it's affordable. It's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, she has such a way. We're so similar. She has such a way of speaking right to what I'm dealing with at that time, because oftentimes it's not so much, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm really frustrated. This is really mm-hmm. hard. It's more maybe a separate issue is feeding into that. Mm-hmm. And she just has a way of just being like, zoom, and I'm like, oh, my God, you're saying it. She's amazing. So, like, one of them is she's like, you know, like, remember when you did this show? Like, did you ever think that was going to happen? Remember when you had that experience? Mm. You know, because I've had, like, crazy random things. She's like, remember when you went to that party with Shirley MacLaine? And I'm like, oh, my God, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Wait, so went to a party with Shirley MacLaine?
I did.
Or a party that Shirley MacLaine was at?
I mean, both. I took her. It was a company. It was okay. a party that the company I was working for as a day job at the time was hosting.
Oh.
And she's kind of, you know, needs like a companion at
sure.
things. So I went with her.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And it was great because a lot of people thought that I was her granddaughter because she's a redhead.
Fun.
And I was
yeah.
like, yeah, that's exactly who
yes,
I am. I'm Shirley's granddaughter.
Yeah. Grace MacLaine.
But yeah, exactly. Right. So it's like random stuff like that. Like a lot of really cool, exciting things have happened. And my mom's like, what else do you want to do, Grace? And then I'm like, ooh, that's right. I don't want to do anything else.
That's a good point too. When you're feeling, it's that perspective thing. It's when you're in the middle of the forest and you're buried in the mud of this industry, looking back and going, something tiny, something cool, something that if you would go to your 14-year-old self and say, hey,
right.
you're at a party with Shirley MacLaine because it's part of your job, 14 or so, be like, great, I'm not killing bears. Awesome. So that
best case scenario, yeah. there's bears at the party
yeah,
for Shirley
yeah,
MacLaine.
Well, for the West Hollywood one. So, yeah, right. so, yeah, there's yeah, so perspective is what I'm gathering there. And,
yeah.
and you have a support system that does that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm also just, I mean, like I said, I'm super obsessive. I absolutely refuse to fail. So if this is what I'm doing, I'm open to maybe not doing it. But if this is what I'm doing, I refuse to fail.
And knowing, too, that word failure, it doesn't – I mean, you not getting an audition is not failure. It's part of the success plan.
Right. And it's all – you know, it's cheesy, but you have to enjoy the process, you know, because it's always – you can literally
– You have some great cheesy lines. You have some great
– I'm like, just listen to your heart, Ken. I mean, but you do. I mean, because it's not like – I mean, I have friends. Mm. You know, I know people
– I know you have friends, Grace.
I have friends, Ken. God. Their names are Rat and Baxter. You can, you know, it's like the Oscar syndrome. Like, you win an Oscar, and then they're like, what happened to that? You know what I mean? It's
like
you're never done.
Right.
You know, so it's always like, what project is next? So you just got to enjoy whatever project you're working on now and hope that the next one's bigger and better, more what you want to do that's aligned with your goals.
It's an attitude thing with you. That's good, in a good way. You got a good attitude.
Thanks.
Got a good attitude.
My parents will be so proud.
Yeah, no, you do. You do. Not that I would have thought any different from seeing you around the office there. You're snarky.
As I smugly smoke my cigars in the corner and judge you all.
But that's, because this is a grind. This is a grind, and you never know that next turn. And you've had some successes, and that doesn't necessarily guarantee the next round of
success.
Exactly. And it's still a work in progress. When did you start to paint? You paint.
I do paint.
I learned this from Instagram.
The Bible of Instagram, isn't it?
Right. I learned all my movie news from The Rock's Instagram feed, and I learned that you like to paint.
Are those the two things you've learned from Instagram? Because I'm honored
much.
That I'm in the top two.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, no, I started to paint in high school, actually. I was a very, very emotional, dramatic, and rebellious teenager.
No.
I know.
I can't imagine.
I know, it's like so hard to picture.
A fiery redhead on the plains of Prescott, Arizona.
Killing bears.
Killing
doing
bears.
Drugs. Yeah, no, I was, I definitely had my wild phase back in the day. I will probably never have children just because I'm afraid that they will do to me what I did to my parents.
Sure,
But yeah, I started painting then. It's just kind of a, you know, I do a lot of different artistic things and they all kind of give me a different like, selfishly, they give me a different kind of catharsis. Like, dancing is, like, where a lot of my joy is expressed. Painting is kind of where a lot of my angst is expressed.
Is this like a Disney movie? Is this Inside Out 2?
Let it go. Let it go.
This is great. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
So, yeah, I started painting in high school when I was angsty.
Angsty. I mean, it's good. It's I'm looking at this is all your work.
This is all my work.
In your place here. Yeah. I mean, I never would have doubted your skill, but I'm impressed.
Thank you.
You know? I mean, if I was to paint that, it looked like someone would drop the bucket while choking on a sandwich outside of Del Taco.
They'd be like, who painted this sky dump?
I could sell
it. I have to have it for the living room.
I would sell it as sky dump at any kind of place that would open it there. I love it. Where do you want to take that anywhere, or are you one lane? Do you believe in one lane? Like acting is the thing,
kind of like,
but this other stuff is on the side.
Yeah, no, this is totally 100% just for myself. I think that I don't know. I think there's a lot to be said. People are like, create your own work. You know, the industry's not going to hand your stuff. I don't know why I turned into like Owen Wilson a little bit for a second.
Wow.
But I think, but if you're wearing too many hats, I think you water down your focus. So yeah, I'm pretty
one
lane as far as that's concerned.
That's definitely that was the master of none type
right,
of thing.
Yeah.
It's definitely true. Definitely true. There's a lot of failed. I have a lot of Gmail accounts attached to failed projects.
Okay. I mean, at least they're not like AOL accounts. Yeah, so there's that.
I have one of those too. What is.
You have five, don't lie.
What is the most accuracy part of your personality? Because, as we all know.
Could you be more specific?
Well, we all know, you know, if you're in town and like an actress or an actor, I don't want to make this gender specific, but it's like, ugh. You definitely don't want to date an actor. Oh, that's an actress. Be careful. What is your one? Be honest here. Be
about
honest.
About me personally.
About you.
Like, what is my quality?
Like,
that
what's
are
the
like,
one
oh,
thing? Like, oh,
actor.
That one, she paints. Like, I don't know. Oh, she wants to take sky dumps. Like,
I mean, who doesn't?
What is it?
Ooh.
What's wrong with you, Grace? What's wrong with you?
All right. Well, this is going to be a lot longer of an episode.
I'll turn off the record button. Click. All right.
Oh, it's off. Okay, it's so off. This is off the record.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that 90% of the time I have a teacup chihuahua in my purse is probably pretty high on
you
the list.
You know what? I almost didn't need to ask the question now that I think about the answer.
But no, I mean, I like to think that I'm not very accurate. I don't, like, I'm super goofy.
Sure.
I'm not, I don't know.
You
I
throw
mean,
temper tantrums? What do you do?
No.
There's got to be something buried deep inside
I mean, the
there.
Chihuahua's pretty, the that's
when,
very
when
actress-y.
Did the,
okay,
the,
yeah, I have a bone to pick with this, pun intended,
yeah,
if you will.
Dog bone?
Okay, because I don't know why that became a trope of an L.A. up-and-coming starlet, because I have had Rat for 13 years.
That was going to be my question. So Rat came from Prescott.
Right, yeah. Well, technically Phoenix, but yeah, I mean, I got...
challenge my Prescott. Prescott is
your
where
everything...
Your
geography is off, sir.
Prescott is everything now.
It... All the, like, five people in Prescott are like, yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, I had Rat before Paris Hilton had a chihuahua, before Hilary Duff had a chihuahua, before Britney Spears had a chihuahua. Like, all that whole weird phase when that became a thing, I was the OG.
Okay, I was going to say Paris. I was going to say Paris.
Like, she kind of started it.
Has to be.
I had Rat before Paris.
Mid-2000s, right?
I mean.
Paris's day. Day in the sun.
Was it a day in the sun?
I mean, It was. Have you ever heard of the sex dream I had about Paris Hilton?
Dear God, no, but I want to know.
You're going to hear about it. The sex dream I had with Paris Hilton is me on a cafe outside with her, counseling her on her bad men choices. And tells you how my brain works.
You know, if I knew nothing about you, that one solitary sentence would be enough that I'd want to be
that's
your friend.
A 100% true story.
Well, but it was, I love that you describe it as a sex dream.
It was.
As opposed
it was,
to just a dream about Paris Hilton.
That's
it
how
was a
I
sex dream.
Have celebrity sex dreams. Is I'm fully clothed.
Hot.
They're fully clothed. We're in a cafe and
is
I'm like,
is it warm in here?
You choose bad men. But it was Paris Hilton. It's got to be.
I mean,
be.
You gave her great advice. She appreciated that.
Yeah, she did. Then she started to not choose these bad men and she's faded away.
Yeah.
I mean, she's all right. But I think you have her to blame.
For sure. No, for sure.
For the chihuahua thing.
Because then everyone was like,
How many do people react like that? So the other day, I know you went to a mechanic and you brought the story
I was thinking.
Yeah?
I mean, especially in a mechanic because, you know, I'm not trying to make any kind of, like, sexist statement, but I think that, like, mm-hmm. you know, it's mostly employed by older white guys
sure.
who are like, I know a lot about cars, yeah. young lady. And I'm like, you know, I know that I look a certain way and with a small dog in my purse, I don't exactly sell mechanic right. knowledge, you
yeah.
know. I mean, you know, I think now because everything is so pet friendly now, I get it a lot less. Back in the day, I definitely got it like, oh my God. Especially like when I was still in Arizona, like, you're such an LA girl with your little chihuahua. And I was like, dude, I just love dogs. Like, what do you want?
Let's go to this pet friendly idea. I disagree. I think, and my mother's guilty of this, clearly you are. I think a lot of pet owners just decided at some point, some memo went out, screw it, we're walking into the
Correct.
Store.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it didn't become pet friendly.
You forced the issue. I mean, that's yeah. how we grow.
Is that how we grow?
That's you make yeah. it happen.
I am still, and I
votes for women, chihuahuas and mouths.
Suffrage and pets. And look, I haven't met your other dog, but Rat, I love Rat every day in the office. Great addition. One of my favorite
things. She
works
hard.
One of my favorite parts of the day is Rat scurrying over to me, kind of barking until I scratch her haunches, and then she's like, but you don't have food, I'm leaving.
Classic Rat.
But yeah, anytime I saw it the other day, I was in the convenience store, and some guy just walks in with his dog. What are you doing?
Yeah, you know, I do kind of agree with that because Rat's always either I'm carrying her or she's in my bag. I don't
sure.
just let her, like, saunter
I can
about.
Understand that. My mom had some long-haired chihuahuas, and the first one, Simon, may he rest in peace, Simon. We were at the BJ's down in Canoga Park. They were visiting me. My mom brought in a carrier, and I was like, get that thing out. Oh, what are we doing? We're going to Del Taco.
This is a nice
yeah.
joint, Mom.
Yeah. No one takes that in a BJ's brew house, a dog. But it's changed. And back then it was like we'd get kicked out.
Oh, yeah. Well, because now everybody can just say it's a service dog.
Oh,
and then you're discriminating.
Trust me, that in my industry, my old industry,
oh, I know.
You were part of a lawsuit. And this
For
guy.
For that?
No, what this guy did, and if you live in Southern California, you might have seen this guy if you've been here for any length of time. He'd drive a Harley Davidson motorcycle, and he'd have a big German Shepherd tied to him, his belt with a rope.
Oh my God, that makes me so nervous.
And he had a, I'd call it a Lynyrd Skynyrd type of old school rock top hat with
right.
like things. And he'd go to malls or public places that were private property open to the public. And he'd walk around with his dog and wait for someone, particularly like my security staff, to come up to him. They'd be like, hey, you know, you can't have a dog. And this is mid 2000s. And he'd immediately bait you into a confrontation, start audio taping it. Turns out he was suing.
Like entrapment.
Yeah, he was suing.
Trying to find lawsuits.
He had 33 plus lawsuits going at one time. He made a living off of this. And,
he seems like a great guy.
Proud to
is
say.
Is he single?
I think he was. Proud to say, me and my boss were the ones that shut him down.
We
went up to the Animal People Protection Animal.
That's the name.
The
yeah.
Animal Protectors of California or whatever. And we're like, hey, this is what this guy's doing. And they were like, well, we can't have that. He's besmirching our names and our policies. But after that, yeah, it got so easy where people would bring in snakes, birds.
Oh, shit.
And I'm depressed. It's a service animal and you can't. Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
So I'm
going to. I hate that guy, though,
yeah.
because he's making people who actually have service animals
yes.
look like dicks. Very yeah. much like the handful of douchebags make all actors seem like assholes.
Is it just a handful?
No, it's not. They're all assholes.
But that's yeah. So, all right. I'm allowing you to take your dog. And I understand that's your one trait. If that is your one trait that you're willing to share publicly, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with that. I did want to. I put a pin in dancing.
Right.
What kind of dancing you do other than the ballet? When did this start? 2 years old. You're taking some tumbling classes.
I did. Yeah, absolutely. I started.
You're a multi-talented entertainer. You should be on a cruise ship.
Oh God.
Doing your dancing and your painting and your acting. I'm kidding.
That's actually like a perfect sum up of my worst nightmare. I did gymnastics when I was super, super little.
Mm-hmm.
Super little. And that kind of transitioned into jazz. I started doing jazz. And
jazz dancing?
Dancing.
Or jazzercise?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
It was the 90s. So I went into that. And then when I got, and then I kind of moved into musical theater. And then I went back to dance. And when I was in high school, I was on teams and stuff like that. So jazz is how I started.
Dance teams?
Dance teams.
God bless you.
And
you're, of course, after this, sharing pictures with me.
I have great, yeah, on this dance so many team. Good ones.
Great.
Amazing, like great. Just horrifying. So jazz, and then I got into hip hop and ballet, and lyrical and modern, but ballet is my love.
I mean, I know two dancing styles, wedding and drunk wedding. So you're way ahead of me.
I'd love to see those differentiated.
The wedding dance is casual. It's cards close to the vest. You're not loose enough yet. You might be dancing with a 8-year-old second cousin. Oh, right. That's cute. Look at that. And the drunk one is, so his ties come undone. Half his jacket is off. You can see the sweat stains through the shirt.
Oh, that's the best part.
Someone take, take this man, put him back in his hotel room.
But the DJ's like, and now we're going to start winding it down.
Yeah. Last song. No! Get Uncle Ken off the floor.
You're just you. You're the only one on the floor.
Yeah. All right. So you've got a lot going on. You've got a lot that you're working on. What? And you mentioned series regular. I get that. In your mind, if I cast you ahead 10 years, what is your dream success? What is your dream achievement? What is it? What are you here fighting for, Grace?
Ooh.
This is in the script you'd write a beat.
She pauses. Wow. Shit. Okay. Could you repeat the question? So 10 years. Are you asking me like what my best case scenario
I'm not,
is?
I'm not
in
asking
10 years?
Specifically like James Lipton inside the Actor's Studio. And Tim, I'm just saying, you left the plains of Prescott and Tucson, Arizona, as we know now, and you hit here. I'll use myself as an example. I moved here to start sketch comedy to go to Saturday Night Live, like a lot of mildly attractive and not too exciting white men. Like, that's what we do. Let's go do some sketches. We're not ugly, but we're not going to get leading man roles. Let's go do some sketch comedy and try to end up in New York.
Okay.
And then after that, when I realized that went away, I meandered with no set goal for about 10 years. Did I want to write? Mm-hmm. Did I want to go into pro wrestling? Did I want to do stand-up comedy? Did I want to be a police officer? What did I want to do? And that led to me wandering in the desert for a very long time. Not literally. No peyote on me. I'm saying now, you move here. Do you have that one thing that you're like, that is what I'm going for? You said series regular.
Yeah.
But what does that mean? Does that mean you want to be on ER7 or,
I would love to be. Okay. I think I understand the question. If you couldn't tell, I'm a bit of an overthinker. So,
work through this together. You don't have to have the exact answer right now. The last part of the show could be us trying to determine your goal.
So it's going to turn into like a great shrink session. I love this. I would love to be, I feel kind of funny saying this because I'm not a huge fan of hers personally.
Mm-hmm.
But I really love how Reese Witherspoon has kind of transitioned into producing her own stuff. And a lot of it is book based.
Now, I don't know why you take a shot at Reese Witherspoon.
I didn't take a shot.
I didn't say Anne Hathaway.
But, like she did, the film a couple years ago where she's the drug addict, on the hike, and now she's doing Big Little Lies. I would super love to be working. Well, first of all, I love television. I come from repertory theater and regional theater.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like 50 of us and we do 800 shows for 10 years. So
right.
We're all, it's like family. So I love a television show because it's a similar kind of community-based kind of gig. Whereas a film, you rap and like just when you all become best friends, you're done. And you're like,
Right.
So I love television. I want to be a series regular. I want to be in every episode. I want to have no day job.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love eventually to be in the position to be not necessarily a producer, but just a part of the decision-making on the aesthetic, the art direction. So I guess I'm kind of describing a producer, but on the content because
you want to control your own destiny a little bit.
I want to be God, yes. Summed up, yes. But you know what? I just want to be working. I want to be doing roles that stretch me, that inspire me, mm-hmm. that I think people are going to get something from,
right.
that people can resonate with. Like, I really have...
I'm so glad your soul hasn't broken yet.
No, I mean, I know it sounds but I'm being so honest. I mean, okay. I'm so...
So there isn't one specific brass ring, which, again, I wouldn't expect that to be the answer. I want to be the second lead in a Sandler film. No, I get it. You
I do.
Stay with me. Of course you do. But all right, so it's an overall picture.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the short answer is, like, I want to win an Oscar. But, like, I don't know. I mean, of course I want to win an Oscar. I'm going to win an Oscar.
Sure.
That's what I meant.
yeah.
But, yeah, no, I think it's just about creating... finding a place where, you know, we have somewhere to go. Like, television series have somewhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that television is the forefront of where it's at right now.
Sure.
And we can do so much. We can affect so much good. And there's so much script. I'm always like, oh, shit, where'd that come from? Like, it's so fun. So I want to be in a role that's continually challenging, which is why I love the miniseries, because I would love to be playing a different character every season, like American Horror Story or something like that, because then you're not getting, you know, you can't be static. It would be crazy.
So these are great. You got a handle on your career. I'm going to ask you this question, though.
There's like a very terrifying twinkle in your eye. I'm nervous.
What is on the outside of that, Grace?
You mean outside of work? What is that?
Right. And that's the danger. And that's the danger I warn, because after a long journey, it all comes back to my windbag of a brain. After my long journey of 17 years of get me out of this job, I think I'm going to die here. I got out of it and realized, well, I'm still not there.
Right.
And I had 2.5 weeks off for the first holiday that I worked at Screen Junkies. I wasn't on call. My other job, I was on call, not joking, other than 4 days when I was in the hospital in 2006. On call,
right,
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Holidays, I'd get calls, blah, blah, blah. I had 2.5 weeks to do nothing, and my mind collapsed.
Oh, yeah. It's horrific.
Do you have to be working? Is that where you derive, I should say? Not your self-worth. You're a very confident person, I believe. But
thank you.
Is it planting plants, walking your dog? What else fuels you?
I do love planting plants. I mean, that's such a hard question.
So in other words, 10 years from now, you didn't say, well, I'd like to have kids in a picket fence, which is a viable answer for some people. And it's not for me. It's not for you. Might not be. But your mind immediately, and I was kind of leading it to career. I'm a dirty, dirty journalist here. But yeah, you were like, no, I want to produce, which is great. It's inspiring in its own way.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard because, you know, I am a workaholic. I am married to my job.
Why are you crying? Don't start crying.
What do you mean? It's allergies. It's the wind.
Right.
I mean, because the work feeds into itself. It really is like this cyclical, like every time I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this. Then I get to work on some crazy cool thing and it inspires me and lifts me up, where I get to see some cool play or something.
Okay.
And then now I'm like, oh shit, I'm ready to go back at it again. So I don't know. Children have never been something. I'm not close to the idea, but I'm not amped about the idea. I've never been one of those women who's like, I've always wanted to have kids. I've never said that ever.
Sure.
That's why I'm really hoping my sister gets pregnant, because I want nieces. Not nephews, but nieces.
Takes the pressure. Oh, wow. Okay, you're throwing them back.
Well,
okay.
Right. Yeah. Just being, you know, I just want to let them know what I want. I mean, if there was, you know, it's funny because me and Perry were talking about this the other day on our drive to creation.
Mm-hmm.
And
Is this the hippie place where you get the healthy yogurts?
Yeah, and you want to know who was there just yesterday with Perry?
Yeah.
Viola Davis. Boom.
Okay.
Yeah. You're
well,
a believer
if
now, aren't
she
you?
Wants to have some of that stuff, I guess I will too. All right.
I love her. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, we were talking about this the other day because my life is so full. Like, my life is very full. And I don't mean, like, full schedule-wise. I mean, it's just full. Like, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I'm doing my own thing. I have a million things that make me really happy and inspire me, and I have great people around me. If there was a relationship that could, you know, if I found somebody that could be full with me, you know, I'm not looking to somebody to fill me up. I'm looking for somebody to, like, sit co-pilot with
me. But, yeah, so... Okay. Yeah, no, I totally know what you mean. That's a healthy outlook on relationships.
Right. So if that happens, fine. I mean, I guess I hope that happens, but...
Yeah, no, you know, it was a dirty trick on my part.
It was a dirty trick.
I was like, what's your favorite role? And you're like, I'd like to have career. And I'm like, that's all you want?
You were like, but what about babies, young lady?
It's not necessarily about that. No,
smile more.
No, I don't... I don't necessarily want that either. I've at this point probably given that up, you know, my mom's chagrin. My sister has a couple, but it's an interesting answer because I bet if we were to sit with a non actor or a non entertainer and hey, where do you see yourself in 10 years? That might factor in, and I think that's sometimes the difference is we don't see.
Well, and it's hard too because what role? What the fuck can I play other than some lady standing behind a lamp if I do get knocked out? I hate that shit. Like Kerry Washington on Scandal, where every scene they're dirtying up with like a clipboard.
Yeah.
Why are you standing behind that lamppost? Yeah, I don't like that.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus on a couple seasons of Seinfeld.
Yeah, oh my God. Or like every single, I mean.
So you hate mothers, and that's fair.
Right. Thank you. I didn't want to say it.
It's an interesting litmus test because I think that's the difference. And sometimes, so people either in my family, old friends from my old job, are like, "Yeah, you don't see us, you know, you don't talk to us as much anymore." And it's like because I'm filling every moment of my life with work. Because I guess I don't know if I derive too much of my self worth from that, but it's also I can't stop. I don't want to.
Why is that like a negative thing though?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because you were like maybe more than why?
When it comes out of my brain, it sounds negative because I'm like, but why? I
disagree.
Good deal. And you're like, no, it's cyclical. It inspires the other parts of my life.
Yeah, I don't know why being a workaholic has a bad rap. I really don't. I kind of resent that because I think that's a great quality. In fact, I would argue that my least favorite quality in another human being is apathy or laziness. So
I should probably leave.
There's the door.
I'm the laziest workaholic in the world.
Not. But like, why does it have a bad rap? Like, I don't get that. Like people can pour 100% of their time into their children and everyone's like, oh, she's a great mom. But if I put 100% of my energy into my job, then I'm a workaholic. Like,
ooh,
I don't get it.
Well, you're getting good here.
I mean, I just, because I think it's a good, I think it's a positive thing. I think people were created to be productive and busy and if that's what you're doing, I understand why people are like, ah. Like, my friends, even my friends who are also doing artistic things will be like, I mean, I just feel like, are you working too much? Do you feel like it's affecting other things in your life? That's a real, those are two real quotes I've gotten this week. And I'm like, and I literally didn't even text her back because it pissed me off so much. Because I was like, what
I hope
do you
she's
mean?
Listening now.
I'm like, her name is, I was like, what do you mean is it affecting my life? This is my life. Why does my personal life and professional life have to be different? Like I have to allot a certain amount of time to personal. I'm doing air quotes. Nobody can see it, but you can.
Yeah.
And then I can only do so much with my professionals. Like I don't get it.
I understand. It's the, and I don't, if anyone's listening and they're like this, it's not, I'm not talking negatively about it, but it is the working for the weekend style of life, which is, I have a lot of people I've, you know, been in relationships with those people where it's like, hey, what are we going to do this weekend? And for me, it's like, oh, I'm working.
Right.
I'm recording like, 7 Star Wars shows and writing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And mine too. I'm like, well, I'm doing this and then I'm doing that and then I have to be at that thing and then I got to do this thing. So like I have about 15 minutes right here. You want to meet up for coffee? Like what?
Yeah. Yeah. I have to schedule and that's what I'll get. I'll get a like, hey, what are you doing tonight? And sometimes, hey, look, I'm free. And sometimes it's, I'm can be spontaneous, but yes, it is that like, yes, let's schedule a lunch. What do you mean schedule? I need to get it on the books or else you are not
getting
there. I know,
and then they're like, you're so cool. And I'm like, I'm not cool. I really do want to see you, but I do need to schedule it because my calendar is booked because I like doing
Well, for instance, we scheduled this podcast 2 months ago.
2 years ago.
Before I even knew you. I was like, I'd like to interview you.
It's like in the womb getting an email from you.
Here's 12 potential recording dates.
And even then, we've rescheduled it about once or twice.
I like,
years.
As we start to close here, Grace, I like you hit on something very, very key, which is you take your career seriously, as you should, and that's not a bad thing. That is how it should be because that is how you are made and that's how you are driven and inspired and moved. That's a good thing.
Thank you.
That's a good breakthrough for me.
I'm happy to give that to you.
No. You're spectacular and I am fascinated by the stage combat thing. Have you have you used like a big mace? Have you used that? Or what kind of weapons you get there?
I am trained in broadsword is my most experience. I'm trained in hand to hand, so I could beat the shit out of you.
I almost spit the water out of my
with
mouth.
With my fists.
Okay.
Rapier and dagger.
Okay.
It's
a lot of Shakespeare crimes.
Yeah, exactly.
If the Montagues and Capulets are fighting, you're right there.
I'm so prepped. I'm ready. Yeah. I've just been waiting for this moment.
Yeah. Okay, that's fascinating.
I think those are the only weapons that I'm trained to do. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, if push comes to shove, like, I'll use this mic if I have to.
Yeah, well, yes, you should. Do you want to get into pro wrestling? I can get you in.
I mean, I thought you would never ask again. God, thank you.
We could do that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll take you up to Moore Park. I feel like
I'd just be naturally inclined to wrestle.
You'd be great.
It's a lot like ballet, I hear, so I'll be fine.
It is a ballet. It's a violent ballet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, now I'm kind of on board.
Yeah, aren't you? Yeah.
I still have a lot of angst.
That's good. Grace, it is so good to get to know you here, both in real life and here on the Knapsack Files. You are a joy. You are one of the highlights of my day and a lot of people's day at the office. Not just your dog. I know you think rat is what draws everyone in, and maybe that's true in the beginning, but you surpass your own dog. And I wish you all the success in the world. We'll check in with you. I'm sure this is not going to be the last time you're on the Knapsack Files. I should get you on the show Life Ranked, and we'll do top five crazy things about being an actress.
Oh my God, I would love that.
Yeah, because I'm going to get that out of you. What makes...
Oh, I got him ready.
Oh, there's some crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, you'll be definitely appearing in more stuff on Collider Videos, Awesometacular, on Verizon Go 90. You're stealing scenes. You pop up, and people are like, more of that person there. Who's the redhead? Put her in the pictures, kid. That's good. Where can the fine folks find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Mrs. Graceface, Instagram at Mrs. _ Graceface. I forget to say the underscore, and then people yell at me on the internet.
People find someone else. And you all can expect a lot of pictures of dogs and flowers.
My two favorite
things. And some of you.
And some of me.
And some of you. You, the dogs. Grace, thank you so much for coming into the Knapsack Files. Any final parting statements? Anything you'd like to rescind? Anything you'd like to tell your fans?
Oh, wow. I just want to say hello, thank you, and let's all bully Ken into going skydiving with me.
# skydump. We'll see you all next time on the Knapsack Files. Don't forget, you can find me on Twitter at KatKnapsack. Use the # Knapsack Files to join the conversation, or # skydump. If you're on iTunes, subscribe, rate, and review if you haven't already. That really does help. Don't forget, I have the Patreon page, and if you're interested in checking that out, please consider it. Until next time, for Grace, for her dogs, and for all the sky jump teachers in the world, # skydump. We'll see you next time.